The IBM Flash Storage Solution can be broken down into three S's. Speed, retrieve data fast. Scalability, grow your storage as your business grows. Simplicity, easily migrate and integrate with existing systems. Oh, and there's a fourth. It's surprisingly affordable, with a recommended monthly price of £200 for 26 terabytes. Order by the 30th of June and pay nothing for 90 days. Visit ibm.biz/flashoffer now.
Saw that Jim Cornette was raging over the Stadium Stampede. Because, you know, he reviews all the AEW shows every week. I see his videos in the recommended column all the time on my, you know, when I'm looking at YouTube videos. People tweet me, they send me his clips. Did you hear what Jim Cornette had to say? I don't care. But I clicked on it. And he was so angry about that Stadium Stampede match, he nearly apologized to Vince Russo. Now, you got to understand, for Jim Cornette to even hint at apologizing to Vince Russo about anything, you know the guy is fuming. I was getting a little worried. I seriously was getting a little worried. I think somebody needs to tell him that much anger, it's not healthy for you. It's not healthy for you. I like the Stadium Stampede. I enjoyed it. Just like I enjoyed tonight's episode of Dynamite. I thought it was a very good show. This is your AEW Dynamite review for May 27th, 2020. Happy birthday to my brother. Post Double or Nothing edition. Let me just first say this before we even get started here, before we even get into everything, because we got super chats coming in like crazy, but I hope Shotzi Blackheart is okay. I assume she is. I haven't heard from anybody that, you know, anything serious happened, but I haven't watched NXT yet. I did see a clip of her taking a hard landing on it was like a coffin drop type dive. She was out on the apron. She did a dive outside of the ring during her match tonight. Like, she thought she was Darby fucking Allin doing some kind of a coffin drop. Only unlike Darby, if you've ever seen Darby do the move, she folded like an accordion and didn't get caught on the floor. It looked brutal. She looked like she killed herself. So hopefully she's okay. I guess I'll any injury updates, I guess we'll get in due time. But hopefully she's okay. Let me show one quick thing here before we get going, because AEW did post this earlier today. We did get a rankings update, AEW men's rankings. There you see it on your screen as of today, May 27th. Jon Moxley, AEW champion. And look who is at the top of the rankings in AEW. The very man who I thought would get the next shot. The very man who should be getting the next shot. I'm guessing at All Out, if I had to venture a guess, Labor Day weekend. He is unbeaten. In the last year, I think he said over a year tonight, he's been unbeaten. There's MJF at the top of the rankings. Lance Archer right behind him. Brody Lee, Kenny Omega, and Darby Allin. So, with that out of the way, AEW, they actually had a cool intro. Was a little bit different tonight when they came on the air, the intro for the show. They incorporated clips from Double or Nothing, so I thought that was cool, the way they fixed up the show intro. They had HBO Max logos and banners all over the place. They had HBO Max just plastered everywhere. You know, Warner Media. It's another Warner Media property. They had HBO Max on the ring skirt. They had HBO Max on the guardrail. I think they had HBO Max on the announce desk. They even, you know, mentioned it on commentary. So HBO Max just launched today. I've already bookmarked The Wire. A lot of you have recommended, got to watch The Wire. Can't talk about greatest TV shows of all time without talking about The Wire. It's high praise. I'm going to take your word for it. You guys, you better not disappoint me. I'm going to find time to start watching that show. It's on my list of things to do. So before we get into everything here, let me just express my utmost gratitude to Tim DeWolf. Super chats were coming in before I even went live tonight. That's commitment. That is commitment. So thank you, Tim. Jackalope Music, Prince Walker, AEW Live, and then Sound Off. Best part of his week. Damn straight. James Lindsay with the $20. There he is again. There he is again. Undertaker 420. Hey, Must See TV, thank you, my friend. $25. That's very cool of you. We'll get to all these as we go along here. Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy and The Young Bucks, or the Bucks of Youth, I'm sorry, the Bucks of Youth against Joey Janela and Private Party. We got a Hardy Boys version. And when I say Hardy Boys, I mean like mid to late 1990s version. Hardy Boys version of Matt Hardy on the show. The Young Bucks wanted him to change his character. And so they had this weird cut in the back, you know, during their promo where he would disappear. And when he would come back, you know, he was regular Matt Hardy. No, 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 we don't want that guy. He would leave. He came back. Now it's Matt Hardy, who you could tell that they made their own gear. They did used to make their own gear when they were younger, because I know their mother passed away when they were very young. And all due respect to their gear-making skills, it was something. Hey, got them noticed, I guess. But to see him now at 40-something years old dressed in that gear, just, it doesn't work. So they came out. They were facing, did I mention who they were facing? Joey Janela, Private Party. Joey Janela. Joey Janela, who lucked into a spot in the casino ladder match at the pay-per-view because Rey Fénix is a crazy man. And so Joey Janela got a spot on the pay-per-view. We had a huge appearance here during this match. Huge appearance. I didn't see it coming. Maybe some of you did. Obviously, we haven't seen these guys on TV in a little while. I couldn't believe it. I wasn't expecting it. I couldn't believe it when I saw them, but there they were at ringside. The Butcher and the Blade. They were back. They were at ringside. For some reason, they were dressed in all white. I guess it's a new character change. Blade ate an accidental super kick from Nick Jackson because they were in the crowd making noise. So he got kicked in the face by accident. This kind of broke down a little bit. Butcher went after him. And the Bunny. I got to talk about this. The Bunny was on the opposite side of the ring. And the Bunny was in the crowd with QT Marshall, the Apple guy. I don't know what she sees in him. I don't know what the deal is there. But they've been working an angle together on AEW Dark. And so apparently it looks as if the Butcher, the Blade, and the Bunny are no more. Now it's just the Butcher and the Blade. And the Bunny is, I don't know if they're going to call her the Bunny. It makes no sense. QT Marshall dating a bunny. I mean, that's kind of illegal in most states, I would think. Although Kurt Angle did once in storyline on WWE television, he did say that he wanted to have bestiality intercourse with Booker T's wife. This was a real angle? Don't ask me. Don't ask me. So, hey, the heart wants what the heart wants, I guess, right? But yeah, no more Butcher, Blade, and Bunny. So if we may, please, everybody in the chat, I would appreciate it. A moment of silence for my favorite faction. All right, that's enough. Tony Schiavone. Tony Schiavone made a comment here during this match. He said, "You just never know when a fight may break out here at ringside on Dynamite." And Jim Ross's response to this was, "Yeah, well, they could be stuck in plexiglass. Gotta just stick the knife in just a little bit, right? All in good fun." That's what they would say. All in good fun. We did finally have plexiglass and fans in the audience on Raw Monday night. I'll talk about that this weekend. There was a spot here in this match where Marquen jammed his knee on a dive out over the top rope to the floor. Wasn't sure at first whether, you know, legit, not legit. And then before long, it became obvious that this was just a worked injury. More bang for your buck to Isaiah Cassidy, wins it. So Matt Hardy, he, the good sport that he is, helps Marquen and helps Private Party to the back. So he disappears. And into the ring comes the Butcher and the Blade. And they attack the Young Bucks. They go after the Young Bucks. And all of a sudden, was it a pickup truck? I think it was a pickup truck. This pickup truck comes screeching into the parking lot where Cody had driven his Ford F-150 a few weeks ago and looked completely ridiculous. They drive their truck in, and out of the truck comes the Revival. Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder, who I guess now are no longer Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder. Now they are FTR. FTR. That's their name now. Dax Harwood, Cash Wheeler, fuck the rest, I believe is what it stands for. Or so says their new t-shirt on shopaew.com. Fuck the rest. That's the name of their team. So the world's worst kept secret, it was only a matter of time. I mean, nobody expected these guys to go anywhere else except AEW. I mean, if this virus stuff wasn't happening, I would have said, you know what, maybe they make a pit stop in the NWA. That would have been cool, right? They're old school guys. I could see them wanting to make an appearance in that studio, you know, down in Atlanta. But since there's no NWA right now outside of Carnyland, which is a cool show, you should all check it out on the NWA YouTube channel. Here they are in AEW to the surprise of no one. It was only a matter of when, not a matter of if. And so they walk to the ring. They tease going after the Young Bucks at first, but instead they turn their attention to the Butcher and the Blade. They give a spike pile driver, brainbuster style, old school, Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard. Spike pile driver. To the Butcher, or to the Blade, I'm sorry, to the Blade. Shatter Machine to the Butcher, they're going to have to come up with a new name for that move, I assume. They didn't actually call it anything. Face-to-face with the Young Bucks, they go in for, the Bucks go in for a handshake, they kind of walk towards them, and FTR turns their backs, and they leave. And that's how they end the segment. And this has been building, you know, to say that, you know, this has been building for a while would be an understatement, and you just need to look no further than this tweet here on your screen. This was a tweet from Dash Wilder back in December of 2018. One day we'll wrestle the Young Bucks, and everyone will rejoice. Remember this tweet. There it is. The tweet's not up anymore. I guess he deleted it. It caused a whole lot of controversy at the time, but the internet never forgets. And so there's the screenshot. That's how long this feud has been in the making for. There has been a lot of buildup. There's been a lot of hype for these two teams locking up one day, having a feud with one another. Well, now they're going to get their shot. There's a lot of people out there who would say that, well, what's the big deal, right? With FTR, the Revival, they're boring. Who cares? All of a sudden, everybody cares about the Revival. Nobody cared about them before. Well, here's their chance to go out there and make people care. This is what people have been waiting for. Now they're going to have their chance. Now they're going to have their chance to go out there and have a great match, have a great series of matches. And I like what they did tonight in this respect. Why attack the Young Bucks right away? Why give away the store on night one? They're probably not going to have their first match. Well, I mean, I guess there's Fyter Fest, but I mean, if I'm them, I'm holding off on this match as long as I can. I'm putting FTR in there with some other teams. They have a very rich tag team division right now in AEW. And now you add them to the list. They have a lot of really good tag teams in this company. Give them a few wins. Let them beat a few teams. Got the best friends. You've got SCU. You've got Kip Sabian and Jimmy Havoc. I don't know what Angelico and Jack Evans are up to. You've got them. Wait until All Out. I would build to the first match between these two teams. If they can hold out that long, wait until All Out. There's no need to dive right into this. And just build it. Milk it. You don't need them to attack them right away on night one. So I actually like, they kind of built a little bit of intrigue in the way they did things here on the show tonight. So I like that. We had AEW champion Jon Moxley. He joined on the announce booth tonight. He hooked up with the commentators. He was going to watch Brian Cage pretty much murder Lee Johnson. Lee Johnson, I've noticed, he's kind of the go-to murder victim here in this company. He was the guy, I think, at the pay-per-view the other night that Lance Archer, when he came out, he kind of threw him around. Mike Tyson, if you look at the thumbnail on this video, that weird look on Tyson's face, it's because of what Archer was doing to poor Lee Johnson. He couldn't really make heads or tails out of it. Lee Johnson took a beating on this show, no doubt about it. Moxley was witness to a crime. Taz was out there with his orange towel, had his shades on, looking like a crime boss out of a Grand Theft Auto game. Drill Claw wins it. I can't look at Drill Claw and not think of and not get flashbacks to the old Steiner screwdriver. Steiner screwdriver murdered many a jobber back in the day on the syndicated shows on TV on the early episodes of Monday Night Raw. One of the scariest fucking moves I've ever seen. So Taz cuts a promo on Moxley, who's over by the announce booth. Talked about their match at Fyter Fest next month. Well, I guess it's not next month. Jim Ross said sometime this summer. So we don't have a date yet on Fyter Fest. I know they wanted to do Fyter Fest in London. They wanted to do Fyter Fest in London. And obviously they're not going to be able to do that, unfortunately. And so Fyter Fest is kind of up in the air right now. Sometime this summer. I mean, that covers a lot of ground. So could be sometime in July, could be late June. But they are going to have a championship, man. They're not wasting any time. Brian Cage won the casino ladder match at Double or Nothing. He's getting the next shot. So they're not wasting time here. Brian Cage will challenge Jon Moxley next for the AEW title. I thought Taz was great here. He was very intense. I mean, Taz is always intense. All of his promo work from, you know, earlier in his career, he was always intense. Telling Moxley, you know, Cage is going to rip your heart out of your chest. And all Cage had to do, Brian Cage did not have to say a word. All Brian Cage had to do was just stand there and mean mug the camera and just burn a hole through Jon Moxley. That's it. That's all he had to do. And again, that's one of the reasons I love them giving these big guys, whether it's Cage, whether it's Archer, you know, giving these big guys mouthpieces. It's far better for them to just stand in the background and look tough and look mean and look pissed off and just not say a word. I mean, Archer can talk. I don't know about Brian Cage. You know, again, I wouldn't say these guys are great promos, but they're great badasses. These are big jacked up dudes going out there and murdering people. They should keep their mouth shut. Let somebody else do the talking. So I like, and Taz is the perfect person for that. So I love it. We had Britt Baker, one of my, she's quickly become one of my favorite parts of Dynamite every week. Poor Britt Baker. She was maligned. She was injured on Dynamite last week by Nyla. Well, I mean, Nyla was dumped on her, hurt her knee, and she has some ligament tears and stuff. Nothing too serious, thankfully, not like an ACL or anything like that, but she's going to be out for a while. So she said that the attack on her last week was part of a conspiracy. We have conspiracy victim Britt Baker here. Chris Jericho would be proud. I wouldn't be surprised to find out this was Jericho's idea. I mean, Jericho works for the same company. It's like, you know what? You would make a fine conspiracy victim. Let me give you some pointers. So we have conspiracy victim. Everything's a conspiracy. She said Chris Statlander being an alien is a crock of shit. She's a conspirator. Talked about Hikaru Shida. She's a fake champion. You're a conspirator. Nyla Rose usually come off the top rope with precision. Really? Yeah, well, it's like Nia Jax. Nia Jax, right? When she executes her attack. Nia Jax is known for her great precision. Poor Kairi Sane. Poor Kairi Sane. Don't even get me started on that. But she's a conspirator as well. Nyla Rose is a conspirator as well. She says Aubrey Edwards is a conspirator. Every time I get injured, Aubrey Edwards is there. Every time I get injured, she's always there. So she announces that she's going to be back at All Out. All Out is not until September 5th, so no Britt Baker matches until Labor Day weekend. But the best part of this is as she's rolling away at the end of the segment, she's in her wheelchair. And she was out there with Reba Rebel, who's her assistant. But when the segment is over, Britt wheels herself to the back, and the back of her wheelchair just says, role model. But it's R-O-L-L. As she rolls to the back. I love it. I love it. Jose Inoua, thank you for the $20 drop. What do you think about AEW and WWE adding crowd noises through the PA system during the no-crowd shows? Do you think this is a good idea? I think any kind of natural noise you can create is always the best way to go. I don't like piping in fake cheers. I don't like piping in fake boos. They've got people out there. Let them make the noise. They did a great job of that tonight. And WWE finally woke up on Monday. They had people in the crowd. I'd much rather it come from people, no matter how contrived it may be. And believe me, it did come off a bit contrived on Monday. But I will always take natural sound and natural cheering and booing over anything piped in. So that would be my preference, you know, as far as that goes. I'm not a big fan of that. Christy Janes from Rio de Janeiro. We saw her make her first appearance on Dynamite tonight against the new AEW Women's Champion Hikaru Shida. Or as Dasha says, Hikaru. I assume Shida may have told her to say it that way. Am I saying it wrong? Have we all been saying it wrong? Is it Hikaru, like Pikachu, or is it Hikaru? I think Hikaru is the way to say it. But anyway, this was non-title. I thought Christy was impressive here. Didn't know her from a hole in the wall. Never heard of her before. Never saw her work. This is my first exposure to her here on the show. I was impressed. They gave her more offense than I thought she would get. Only went 5 minutes, but it was kind of competitive. I can think of another Brazilian who AEW ought to give a look, a look to, who happens to be available right now. She is not bound by the 90 days that people on the main roster typically are, because I don't believe any of the NXT people released were being held to any kind of non-compete. Tenara Conchi. I just talked about her on the podcast on Sunday. She did an interview. She was talking about her release from NXT. She was talking about how she knew nothing about pro wrestling coming in. She was recruited by WWE because they saw some sexy lingerie photos from a photo shoot that she had done years ago. She literally thought WWE had something to do with prostitution. That's how little she knew about wrestling. She had no concept of what I want to know what she thought WWE stood for. If she thought the WWE stood for prostitution, then what do the WWE initials mean? That's kind of a dangerous question for me to ask, but I don't know. But anyway, I thought she improved a lot. I wouldn't mind seeing her land on her feet somewhere. I think she's talented. So, Janes missed a quebrada. Shida hit a running knee for a near fall and then hit the Falcon Arrow for the pin. So, again, this was meant to just be, a slightly competitive win for Shida. First appearance for her as the champion here on Dynamite. We had, we got more coming in here. You guys are nuts. Jacob Donnelly, thank you for the 420. The Undertaker 420. And Lord Frieza with the 10 bucks. I thought JR was going to release his inner 1998 and say Tyson and Austin. Tyson and Austin. It did feel a little too much like they were trying to, I mean, let's be honest. That's what they were trying to do. They were trying to recreate Tyson and Austin from 98. I enjoyed the whole finish, but you can't recreate Tyson and Austin from 98. You can't go back to that well. A copy of a copy is never as good as the original. But I did think it was a fun angle. We had Tony Schiavone. He was in the ring to interview the new TNT champion, Cody. Brandy was in the crowd. She was cheering. She was cheering for her husband. She was very upset, though. She was very upset that QT Marshall was preoccupied with Allie, with the bunny. I mean, I don't blame him. I'd rather hang out with the bunny over Cody, too. The TNT title, for those who are interested, not finished yet, or at least it didn't look any different to me than it did at the pay-per-view. Still silver, still not filled in yet. Still have some improvements to make. All right, here we go. We got some information in the chat here from Lecha Flan. Dasha pronouncing Hikaru is how it is officially pronounced in Japanese. Same way Maro pronounced Tenara Conchi as Conchi, which is apparently how it is pronounced in Portuguese. Well, then how should I pronounce it? Because I call her Tenara Conchi. So then it doesn't make any sense that I call Hikaru Shida Hikaru. Hikaru. This Cody kid. Let's talk about this Cody kid here for a second. It's a pretty good promo, in case you didn't know. Called himself the first champion of America's Greatest Network. I guess TNT now is America's Greatest Network. Says if we think nepotism is favoritism or if that's why he's here, think again. This is the story of a 21-year-old kid, wasn't ready, had to take bumps, had to pay his dues. Said to Billy Gunn, Billy, you were there. Long road, had to pay his dues just like everybody else. He goes, I'm not the Simba in this tale. And they showed Dustin in the crowd. Said, Dustin got all the dusty. I got something better. I got my mean old mom at home. I think he said his mom was Cuban. So I got my mean old Cuban mom at home. Says she broke her ankle recently, so hopefully she gets well soon. She's the one who, when Cody wrestled Jericho, I think she smacked Jericho. She was in the front row. And I believe she smacked Jericho, and I believe she either said to Jericho, fuck you, or told Jericho to go fuck himself. You know what? She's okay in my book. That's a cool mom. And he said that he's all about the work. He's going to run this schedule where he's going to defend the title every week. And he basically announced that he's doing the John Cena Open Challenge gimmick. That's really what he's doing. He's going to come out on television every week. He's going to extend an open challenge for anybody who wants to come out and wrestle for the TNT title. And he will defend the championship on television every single week. And you know what? When John Cena did the open challenge gimmick with the U.S. title in WWE, I loved it. It actually turned out to be a lot of fun. We got a lot of good matches. I think one of them, if I'm not mistaken, might have been Cena against Cody. Might have been Cena against Stardust. I don't remember. I know Cena wrestled Cesaro. He had a lot of good matches during that run. But I'm almost positive Stardust was one of the people he wrestled. I think it's a cool gimmick. I have no issue with it. I mean, the Cena one I enjoyed. I see no reason why this wouldn't be any more or less fun. Cody's a big star in the company. It gets him on TV every week wrestling for the championship. I think it's a good idea. Rodimus Prime, thank you for the 20. There's Russo on a poll. Bill Mitchell, what's going on, Bill? The Game, DX15 with the $5. Disappointed Solomonster says, I like AEW, but they're the Six Flags of wrestling, where all their sponsors, you cannot look 5 feet anywhere and not see an ad. That's the first time I've heard that expression. AEW is the Six Flags of the wrestling world. I don't know that that's such a good comparison to make. I mean, I haven't been to Six Flags in a while, but I didn't have the best experience at the one that I went to. Kevin, oh my God, with the $5, popped for the Butcher and the Blade. Happy that they are back. Balls of Steel Chicken, joining us as he does every Wednesday. Thank you for the $2. Kip Sabian and Jimmy Havoc against SCU. Frankie Kazarian and Scorpio Sky. Winners to meet Kenny Omega and Hangman Page for the AEW Tag Team titles in 1 week. In fact, next Wednesday, they're going to be challenging them for the Tag Team Championship. We've not seen Sabian and Havoc, I don't believe, on Dynamite as a tag team. I think they've been mostly wrestling together on Dark. We've seen them together on Dynamite. I know they've been allies. But as far as them really wrestling week to week, it's been almost exclusively on Dark. So this was the first really competitive match they've had here on TNT. I thought this was all right. I didn't think it was anything really, you know, overly special. Look, they needed a heel team to program next week against Omega and Hangman. So they got their heel team. PW Hustle, $50 for Monster Mania, brother. PW Hustle, what's going on, man? Talk to PW Hustle every now and then. Always good to hear from him. Solomonster, Hulkamania, who put Hulk Hogan in the dryer? Yeah, I know. I know. He had the 24-inch pythons. Hey, brother, I got the 4-inch, man. You can't see it. Wait, hold on. There you go. You can't see it right now. I got the 4-inch string beans here, brother. I got the 4-inch string beans. I don't need no 24-inch pythons. I got a mean kick to the dick. All I got to do is one kick and run away, and I'm gone like the wind, like a fart in the wind. Penelope Ford, she distracted Scorpio Sky. Now I've given away my offense here. I've got to come up with a new game plan. Anyway, Penelope Ford, she distracted Scorpio Sky. Michinoku Driver combo for the win. Kind of a cool finish. Jimmy Havoc gets Sabian up for the driver. Sabian drop kicks Scorpio in the back of the head. Boom, there's the driver. 1, 2, 3. And so they'll move on to get the title match next week. We had MJF. Maxwell Jacob Friedman. Somebody says, I'm slowly turning into Brian Cage. I've got a ways to go before I look like Brian Cage. I got to start eating my salad. I've got to graduate from the 15-pound dumbbells to the 20, 25. Then I could look like Brian Cage. Go to the tanning bed. Just, you got to give me time. All the gyms around here are closed. I can only do so much. I will say this. I don't know if you've had this issue. I did go on Amazon. I wanted to buy like a gym set. All I have here is like 10-pound weights. So I went on Amazon. I'm like, I'm going to buy weights. I'm going to have them sent to my apartment. They're all gone. You can't get them anywhere. All you can get are like the little 5-pound ones. What is that going to do for me? What am I supposed to do with that? They're all sold out on Amazon. So if any of you see any deals out there for like 20, 25-pound weights, you know, forward it to me. Can't find this shit anywhere. All these people are going out buying gym equipment that you know they're never going to use. All you people buying up all the gym equipment. It's like all the people at the beginning of the year who buy a gym membership. And then I go to the gym and all the machines are taken by all these people I've never seen before in my life. I'm like, where did all these people come from? Oh, new year, new me. New year, new me. And then 2 weeks later, they're all gone. That's what people do. So we got an MJF promo. He was talking about the Battle Royale for the TNT title shot. Talked about how Wardlow, who's standing right behind him, Wardlow, he knows what to do. We get to the end of the Battle Royale. He knows exactly what to do. When Wardlow tried to interject, he was like, but, and MJF reamed him out. But nothing, you're going to do as I say. And Wardlow is getting hot. And then MJF said, I'm just kidding. I'm fooling around. I'm just ribbing you. And then he walked off. Wardlow did not look amused. Wardlow did not look amused by this at all. He looked none too pleased. And that led into the Battle Royal for the right to challenge Cody for the TNT Championship next Wednesday on TV. Came back from break. And we had we had Wardlow dumping Marco Stunt out to the floor. Chris Daniels had just been eliminated, so he dumped Marco on top of Daniels. We got a fight between Luchasaurus and Wardlow, the lumberjack match that never was. We never did get that lumberjack match on TV. There he is, yawning Mike Tyson. Jackalope music with the $12. He donated $12 to bore Mike Tyson. Look at Mike. He's ready for bedtime. Poor guy. Poor guy. I'm telling you, too much of the bubbly. It'll do it to you every time. Billy Gunn. Billy Gunn was in the Battle Royal. I didn't see Billy Gunn's son. Maybe he was in and out. But Billy Gunn was in the Battle Royal. And the thing about Billy Gunn, he went face-to-face with Luchasaurus. Luchasaurus is a big guy. He's not, you know, 7 feet tall, but he's a big dude, right? Billy Gunn is face-to-face with him. And, I mean, even height. So it's not a matter of, like, Luchasaurus is actually really small. It's a matter of Billy Gunn is deceptively tall. I've met him. I've interviewed him before. You can find that on the channel. And he's a big dude. You kind of forget. You know, Billy Gunn's not a giant, but he's a deceptively large individual. So anyway, he had, you know, nice little run here in the Battle Royal. He lasted a while. But MJF and Wardlow, they eliminate Billy Gunn and Luchasaurus. So now we're down to Wardlow, MJF, Jungle Boy, and Orange Cassidy. My man, Orange Cassidy. MJF accidentally blasts Wardlow with the Dynamite Diamond Ring. Jungle Boy dumps MJF. Jungle Boy and Orange Cassidy dump Wardlow. And we're down to two. We're down to the two baby faces here, Jungle Boy, Orange Cassidy. Same Orange Cassidy who didn't understand the rules of the ladder match the other night at the pay-per-view. Apparently isn't too keen on the rules of a battle royal either. Jungle Boy running, leaping, just ran towards him. Running, leaping Rana out over the top. Jungle Boy holds onto the ropes. Orange Cassidy, no can do. He hits the floor. Jungle Boy wins, and so it will be Jungle Boy against Cody for the TNT Championship on television next week. And see, that's what I'm saying. I mean, he's not going to win, but Cody and Jungle Boy, that should be a really good match. And even though he's not going to win, it's a great spot for Jungle Boy to be in, because he can go out there with Cody for 15 minutes and have a kick-ass match, unless they're employing this old television title rule from WCW. It used to be 10 minutes. 10-minute time. I hope they don't do that. You know, AEW, all these guys, Cody, they're big on old school stuff. I hope these matches have no set time limit, because I'd like to see them give these guys a good 15 to go out there and tear it up next week. We're getting the tag team title match that I mentioned already. The winners are going to go on to Fyter Fest to defend those championships against Best Friends. So they're already hyping up a lot of matches for Fyter Fest, even though we have no date and no location. But Fyter Fest is coming up sometime this summer. We just don't know when. Jordan Robertson, thank you for the $10 a little bit earlier on. Said, just wrapped filming the show. Can confirm, Orange Cassidy looks just like you. People tell me I look like Daniel Bryan. I mean, make up your mind already. I've been told, people told me in the past you look like Jack Swagger. I remember interviewing Kofi Kingston in Miami at WrestleMania 28 at Radio Row. John Cena comes over. Edge was going into the Hall of Fame. Shawn Michaels, all these people I got to interview. Daniel Bryan. And Kofi Kingston comes over and he's like, you look a little bit like Jack Swagger. And I'm like, okay, fine. 2 minutes later, you know who you look like? You look a little bit like John Laurinaitis. Apparently, I look like every white guy in America. Is it that obvious? If a guy's walking down the street and he's white and he's got blonde hair, is it me? Apparently, I'm in every state. I'm everywhere, no matter where you go. I'm offended by this. I'm offended by that. Anyway, Aaron Banks, thank you for the $5. The Munsters or the Adams family are the Munsters. Munsters. Chris Quillman, thank you for the $5. What's your pay-per-view adult beverage of choice? Oh, come on. Don't you know? You know it. Come on. You're going to make me say it. You're going to make me say it. Crash, thank you for the $2. And Kid Cash. Wonder if it's the Kid Cash. That'd be kind of cool. Kid Cash, thank you for the $20. And talks about, I feel like WWE missed an opportunity to use Ron Simmons at WrestleMania for comedic relief. I'll elaborate. If I get out, well, yeah, Ron Simmons is also, he's an older man, so he doesn't need to be flying around. You don't need to be taking any chances with these guys, you know? And Patrice, thank you for the super chat as well. Appreciate it. So the show ended with the Inner Circle having a pep rally. You see the little pep rally logo in the artwork here tonight. I look like New Jack. Yeah, you have fucking cataracts in your eyes, King Merc. Go get some LASIK. I think you need it. Vicky Guerrero was there. Vicky Guerrero was out to introduce us to each member of the Inner Circle. She did all the announcements. Out they came. They had a marching band, whoever it was. No, not marching band, but they had cheerleaders and all these people. Maybe they did have a marching band. I was getting all my stuff together here. Sammy Guevara on crutches. Poor Sammy. Sammy's been run over by a golf cart. Sammy's been chased by a horse. Sammy's been one-winged angeled from 20 feet up in a football stadium. He's had a rough last few weeks. He's out on crutches. Got Chris Jericho a trophy. Jericho got him a scooter so he doesn't have to, you know, use these crappy crutches anymore. Ortiz got them what he called a a New Yorican gift basket. And I meant to write down what was in it, and I didn't, but I just thought that was funny. New Yorican. A New Yorican gift basket. Santana got Hager a pair of Tim's boots. And Jericho, he got him a framed picture of the singer Mark Anthony, which Jericho was very excited about. Hager wrote a poem he read to the group. I didn't write down the whole poem because, I mean, give me a break. But he did say this. He said, "Those pumpkin-headed dipshits may have won the stadium stampede, but I have a particular set of skills." And then he went into the Liam Neeson promo, the Liam Neeson rant, the call from the movie Taken. Jericho had to calm him down and cut him off. I was flipping through some of the channels the other day. I see Taken 3. I didn't even know they made a Taken 2. They made a Taken 3? Why do they keep going after him? You would think that people would learn their lesson after a while. Why would you keep going after this guy? Don't you know it's not going to end well for you? It just seems kind of stupid to me. It's like it was like John McClane in Die Hard. I guess you could say the same thing. Why would you fuck with these people? That's the stupidest thing you could do. So Sammy asked Jericho what he wants. What do you want, Chris? I mean, you know, we're all exchanging gifts here. What do you want? Jericho says, you know what I want? I want Mike Tyson's head on a platter. That's what I want, because he is still bitter. He has not forgotten what Tyson did to him on Monday Night Raw back in 2010 when they had Mike Tyson in. I assume that was the guest host era. Another period of Jericho that I love. Jericho with Bob Barker, one of the great moments on our... Only Jericho is one of the few people who could turn that guest hosting crap into something very entertaining. And Bob Barker, who is still with us, very old, hopefully isn't traveling right now, but easily the best guest host they ever had. Bob Barker was awesome. And him and Jericho together, it was like peanut butter and jelly. But anyway, he hasn't forgotten about what Tyson did to him. Said Tyson turned on him. And every single day of his life ever since, he has been dreaming of getting his hands on Mike Tyson's fat head. And now he finally has his chance. So out comes Tyson and his entourage. Out comes Tyson and his entourage with MMA fighters Vitor Belfort and Henry Cejudo flanking him. I guess he was a little worried about what Jericho might do to him. It's kind of like Mickey Rourke showing up with Frank Shamrock at WrestleMania 25. He, I guess, was worried that Jericho was going to shoot on him. I didn't know Jericho was such a tough guy. I mean, I know he took Goldberg down backstage once with a front face lock. You know, I wouldn't fuck with him, but I didn't know he was such a badass. So Jericho demands that Tyson apologizes to him for knocking him out 10 years ago. He has not forgotten. 10 years. Man, 10 years. Wow. Doesn't feel like 10 years. Man, that's sad. that was the whole guest host era, which was not great. And it's been 10 years since then. That means there's a whole generation of like young kids and like new fans that have grown up. And that period to them is like what the golden era was to me when I was coming up as a wrestling fan with Hogan and the Million Dollar Man and Jake the Snake and Andre and Saturday Night's Main Event. Or if you were an NWA fan, right? NWA Worldwide, NWA or WCW Saturday Night. Real wrestling. There's going to be people growing up thinking that, man, the guest hosts, you know, the who was the guy who danced with the funk, Funkasaurus and all Santino. I mean, Santino was cool, but you know, that's terrible. These people don't know what they missed out on. I feel bad for them. So Jericho demands that Tyson apologize to him or else he's going to knock him out. He's going to knock him out. Tyson strips. He takes his shirt off. Boy, he loves doing that, doesn't he? Tyson did it on Saturday. He did it again here. He loves showing off his new physique. So Tyson, he did a little bit of talking here. He sounded a little bit drunk. Maybe had a little too much of the bubbly, perhaps, before he came out. As we see Minoru Suzuki on screen right now, I will murder Suzuki chat. Thank you, Alex, for the $2 Suzuki chat. So Tyson sounded a little tipsy. Jericho, I guess, threw a shot at Tyson. I glanced over for a second, and all hell broke loose. They said Jericho threw a shot. I guess he threw the first shot. This degenerated into a giant brawl. I didn't see where Belfort was or Cejudo. They were in there somewhere. Just mass chaos. Again, they were trying to recreate Tyson and Austin from 98. You can't do it. You can't recreate Tyson and Austin with Tyson, no less. 22 years later. Hey, you know what? I give the guy credit. 22 years later, he's 53 years old. He's gotten himself in good shape. Good for him, man. Good for him. Apparently, you know, they're teasing maybe him and Tyson Fury might have a fight. Which I said on Twitter, I said is going to be the most confusing thing in the world because, you know, it's like, how are you going to promote this? Right? Normally you'd promote with like the last names, right? Mike Tyson, Tyson Fury. So they're going to promote the fight as the Tyson Fury fight? That's fucking confusing. I bet it doesn't even happen. So it probably doesn't even matter. But whoever threw the first shot, all hell broke loose. I thought, you know, as far as a pull-apart brawl goes, it was fine. You know, they had other wrestlers come out. I think Cody was out there holding. Tyson was being pulled back. He wanted a Jericho in the worst way. So it looks to me like you know, we're probably going to Fyter Fest, if not All Out, and we're going to have a match. We're going to have a match between Chris Jericho and Mike Tyson. I mean, look, Tyson's gotten himself in shape. So it looks that way to me. Otherwise, I don't know what the point of any of this was other than just to get Tyson a spot on TV. But it looks like we're going to end up having Jericho against Tyson. And because it's Jericho, I'm not worried. And I think it could be a great attraction for AEW. I don't fault them for doing it if that's what they're doing here. I think it'll get them some publicity. I think I trust in Jericho. Jericho has been gold for the most part ever since he's come into AEW. So I think if that's the direction they're going in, I got no problem with it. I think it would be a great attraction for the company. And you know what? It's not a bad idea. It's a smart idea, and I'll tell you why. Because with everything going on, AEW lost a lot of momentum, right? The Newark show never happened. They had to move out of Vegas for Double or Nothing. They lost a lot of money, and they lost some momentum. And there's no telling when they're going to be able to go back to kind of regular events and when they're going to have their entire roster back, because everything internationally has been disrupted. We haven't seen Pentagon. We haven't seen PAC's sitting at home overseas. Look, it could be a year. It could be a year and a half. We don't know what kind of travel restrictions are going to be, you know, kept in place. So they may not have their full roster for a long, long time. They've got to do something to try to drum up interest and get people to tune in and say, hey, I gotta watch this show on Wednesday and see what's going on. And if they sample the show, maybe they like what they see. It's no different than what WWE did with Tyson 22 years ago. Tyson at the time was a bigger attraction than he is now. And even then, past his prime in terms of current fighters, he was not the Mike Tyson, you know, at his peak in 98. But look how it paid off for WWE. Now Tyson can still be an attraction. Tyson can still be box office if he's used in the right way. So if that's the direction they're going in, I don't fault them at all. I enjoyed the show. I thought it was a fun show. I did. I thought it was a really fun show. You know, they're making the best of a bad situation with Britt Baker. You know, we had some good matches on the show. Nothing blow away. There really wasn't what I would... There were no great matches on this show. I thought the Cody promo was very strong. I thought the stuff at the end was fine. So FTR finally making their debut. You know, that's a big deal, I know, for some fans. And now we're going to get this big program with the Bucks and FTR. They're going to finally get to kind of dance together, and we're going to see what they got. So I thought this was a very good show and a strong show overall. Now, question is, did you guys agree? We'll find out in a second. Cameron Johnson, thank you for the $1.99. I appreciate that. Darius Smith, thank you for the 5 worldwide escorts. Okay, so that's what you think that Tainara Conchi thought that WWE stood for before she came into the company. Worldwide escorts. I could see that. I would even say for a period there back in the Attitude Era, you could have called them worldwide escorts. Loki Agatho, thank you for the $10. Been a while since I've heard from Loki. Bill Mitchell, we talked about him earlier. Brian Becerra, thank you for the $15. PW Hustle, again, thank you, man, for that 50 spot. You're a beast. I appreciate it. Khalid Adam, Jackalope Music, and Mutahir Majid, thank you for the super chat as well. Try using resistance bands. They don't replicate a gym. They are good for the arms, chest, and back, and available on Amazon. All right, I might check that out. Resistance bands. That's what they gave me for my knee. After I had my knee surgery, I was in, I was at the physical therapist for about 3 months, and they had me using these resistance bands. Dick Tickles, grow a 90s Meltzer mullet. Yeah, you know what? Let me go back on camera here. I don't know if you can see this. I'm kind of getting used to it. You know, it's getting thick up here, but... part of me is just curious to see, because the problem is I don't have straight hair. If I had straight hair, I'd let it grow. I'd have like Bret Hart. I'd be like Bret Hart every week. You know, Bret Hart, the trademark hair flip where he goes like that. Just, that's Bret Hart, like every 5 seconds back in the 90s. I don't think my hair is such that I could ever have that. But if you're looking back, I don't know if you can see. You can't really tell. It's starting to curl. Yeah, you can't really tell here, but... It's starting to curl. I don't know how I feel about this. I feel like if we go another 3 months, I'm going to have a Todd Pettengill 1993 mullet. Or Shawn Michaels 1993 mullet. So you give me another 3 months, you guys might have Mullet Monster here on the channel. Then you could all make fun of me. Jackie Williamson, thank you for the five. Let's see here. Balls of Steel Chicken. Man, you are killing it, man, every week. Tenorio128, thank you. And PW Hustle with another 10. Another 10? What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? 8-Track, thank you, 8-Track. Thank you. Always a character. Always a character is old 8-Track. Alex Garcia, Will Robb, thank you for the 10. Can you please tell me when Nia Jax will be removed from wrestling? I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't know what to tell you. It feels like she's always involved in something. I don't know if it's just bad luck or what. But yeah, that report about Kairi Sane from... I don't want to give away spoilers here. There was an injury. And I hope she's okay. And Magician Sapphire, thank you for the 10. How did Britt get away with dropping the F-bomb on live TV? I forgot to mention that. She dropped an S-bomb. There was an F-bomb in there. Because according to Cody, it's America's greatest network. That's why. USA would never allow that. I mean, The Rock did it once. But what were they going to do? Fire The Rock? Remember the one time The Rock dropped an F-bomb on TV? In fact, I think when The Rock dropped an F-bomb on TV, I think Jericho was out there with him. I think Jericho was on stage with him. They were talking to Stephanie. Here's the AEW poll. Over 1,200 votes in. 83% thumbs up, 16% thumbs down. That's an excellent score as compared to NXT. Also very good. I'd say very good. 70.7% and 29.3% thumbs down. So let me know if you guys haven't voted. It's up at Solomon's. Do you see the handle? It's right in front of your face. Can't miss it. It's right there on your screen. Also, just before we move on here real quick, for those of you who did not see, you've not been paying attention, I have been doing reviews weekly of the new Undertaker documentary, which is excellent, and you should all be watching it, even if you don't listen to my reviews. Go check it out. They're up to Chapter 3, End of an Era. And my latest review premiered on YouTube last night. It's about 40 minutes long, so if you want to go back on the channel when you're done here and check it out, I sure would appreciate it. Unfortunately, they're not going to be back for episode 4 for another, I think, 2 or 3 weeks. I think June 16th is going to be the next time I come here on this channel and review the next episode. June 14th is when it drops on the WWE Network. So anyway, just wanted to let you guys know, if you did miss it, Chapter 3, my review, is up right now. It is up right now on the channel. All right, let's see here what we can muster up as we move along. Got a few more minutes here, I think, before we call it quits. What do you got? What do you think? What do you guys think, huh? Shall we take a few calls? I'm just checking to see if there's any news on Shotzi. I don't see anything. So again, I'm hoping everything is okay. But let's go to 817, and I will check around and make sure that she is okay. 817, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul Abonte, this is Carlos Lugo. How are you doing today?
Hey, Carlos, I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good. Given all the terrible things that are happening recently, both inside and outside the wrestling business, I want to ask a more lighthearted question. So last week you mentioned that you had some glass sticking out of your knee, and in the Facebook group there was someone that asked, what happened to you? And there's a lot of theories going around. A lot of people are talking about a Kinshasa to Glassdoor. Some people are saying that you had a match against Nia Jax.
Mm.
Other people are saying that you saw Luis in Colombia, you're trying to jump through a glass door. So what happened?
Well, actually, I would have done that had I seen Luis in Colombia. That's a good point. I probably would have jumped. I would have dived out of a 6-story window. No. We like Luis here on this stream. We like Luis here on this show. I can't say anything bad about our friend Luis. No, I mean, look, I don't think people care, but you know, I was in Colombia, not the state, South Carolina, but I was in the country, Beautiful country a couple of years ago and had a little accident. Had a little accident, did something really stupid, thought I was going to die, lost a lot of blood. It was not pleasant. Couldn't really communicate with anybody at the hospital because nobody at first knew English. I'm trying to communicate, you know, and I think somebody in there said muerte, and I was like, I got all spooked. I'm like, what? No, it was something stupid. It was something stupid that I did, and then I had to have knee surgery because when they stitched me up, they stitched me up with glass in my knee, so I had to have it taken out. Anyway, it wasn't like a tear or anything like that. That would have been much worse. That would have been far worse. So thankfully, it wasn't anything quite that serious. Let's go to 516, I believe. Is this my friend Jared?
Hello, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing good, Jared. How are you?
I figured I'd call us. This has been a couple weeks since. Yeah, you're doing.
So I assume you tuned into the show tonight. What did you think of the Mike Tyson stuff at the end?
It's Mike Tyson. I mean, he's going to draw no matter what. If he's 40 years old, he's 80 years old, crippled. I mean, I'm not saying they're copying WWF with Vince back in January 98, but it's good to have a celebrity on there. He looks ripped. He looks ready to go. I don't know if he's going to be fighting or anything, but...
Hey, let me just stop you there. Let me just stop you there for a second.
Sure. Sure.
Give me one second here. Hey, young Krillin, if you don't like the polls, you don't have to fucking vote, buddy. You don't have to vote in the polls.
Yeah, man. Don't vote.
You don't have to vote. Yeah, the polls are there for the people who watch the shows who want to vote. If the poll results are similar every single week, then obviously it must mean that the people who are watching AEW like AEW and the people who watch NXT like NXT. The NXT polls don't get as many votes. Just like the videos on YouTube. The NXT videos don't do the same level of traffic that the AEW videos do. That's a fact. I can tell you that from my channel alone. I won't speak for other content creators. I'll just speak for myself. But when I post NXT content, you know, it does well, but it doesn't do nearly as well as the AEW content. Overall, there just seems to be more interest in that product, hence more votes. If you have a problem with the fact that the results are very similar every week, then don't fucking vote. Why does it bother you that there's polls up that you can vote in every week? What are you bitching about? Don't fucking vote if you don't like the Jason. Polls. It's very simple. Anyway, go ahead.
Jason, preach on, man. I never understood it. Raw has been complete shit since CM Punk left. And that's what, 9, 10 years ago? And you still have shows upon shows that are just 3 hours. Like you said yesterday on the podcast. It's just, I'd rather watch paint dry. I'd rather be stabbed in the heart. It's just unbelievable. And I don't know if they're trolling you or they really think that WWE fanboys are really, you know, they think, you know, everything is great. You know, Bobby Lashley versus Drew McIntyre is going to be a great, great match. I just never understood it. And I try not to be a WWE hater. They provide entertainment for me, but they, you know, I'm an Attitude Era guy. I'm a classic Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan, the Piper, Snooker guy. It's just amazing these kids today that don't even go back and watch what we're all talking about and they bash it. It's just mind-boggling.
Let me just say this, because did he delete his comment? Or did the mods? I didn't do it. So if the mods did, the mods can leave it. It's fine. If that's his opinion, then you know, let him express his opinion. There was somebody else who said the same thing, and you're entitled to your opinion. I just don't see why people, like even on Twitter, I see people who get so upset about it. Oh well, obviously it's, you know, the AEW fans are out in full force, and like I don't understand what are you implying? Like the AEW people are voting down in the NXT polls, or that the NXT fans are voting down in the AEW polls? Like, I'm asking. So again, it doesn't make any sense. It actually kind of amuses me how upset people. It only makes me want to post more polls. I wish I had 15 more polls to post just to piss these people off. Like, people will vote however they want to vote. Yeah. You know, their opinion is their opinion. They're certainly entitled to it. But again, let's move things along here. Give me your top line thoughts, just in general. I want to make sure you get just your key points in here before we move on, because I haven't talked to you in a few weeks. So again, just sum it up for me, what you thought about the show tonight.
I'm sorry, Jason. I'm sorry I went on that tangent. I'm sorry about that.
It just pisses
the hell out of me.
No, it's fine. Look, everybody's got fanboys. AEW's got fanboys, and they can be disgusting too, you know, when with some of the things and how, you know, up their ass they can be. And WWE is the same way, just like wrestlers. Wrestlers have fanboys. They can do no wrong. Stans, whatever the fuck they call themselves. They're all pathetic. They're all just in one big ball together, and they're all pathetic. Just, you know, you don't have to be a fanboy for every little thing that every company does. You know, I come on here, and like me, I tell it like it is. If AEW had a shitty show, I'm going to tell you it's a shitty show, and then I'll get 15 comments telling me, oh, you're being harsh on AEW. I go, really? Do you not watch my show? Because I'm mostly positive about AEW.
And if Joey Ryan has a bad intergender match, I crap all over Joey Ryan. You know, it's the same thing. And I was really happy for you that Brian Cage got the spot, because I know you called it on last Thursday. And I totally forgot. I remember Jeff Cobb.
Well,
I remember Brian Cage.
Yeah, Jeff Cobb, Brian Cage, and somebody else in the chat, you know, I think on that final Dynamite stream brought it up too, that they thought maybe it would be Brian Cage. And it made sense because we were talking about Brian Cage a few months, I think in January. And of course, I think Melissa Santos came out and denied it. Oh, you know, it's not true. We haven't signed. And then Tony Khan basically the other day, you know, it came out and confirmed, yeah, we signed him in January and we've been paying him ever since. So it only made sense. You know, it's about how long you would have expected him to be out. And this was the perfect spot for him.
And Jason, total props to Tony Khan for mid-January hurting his bicep and still signing him, knowing he can be what he's young enough, he can recover from that. I know most wrestlers take 3 months instead of us humans taking 10 months. But whatever. I thought that was a great call by you. I'm glad he won the match, I was gonna say I was really happy Cody won. I mean, I know he was playing a little heelish off of Stone Cold Rock 2007. You know, WrestleMania 70. I need to win this match, but you know. I mean, I didn't love the things that stuck with Jake the Snake and Arn Anderson and Mike Tyson falling asleep, but, you know, Cody deserved to win that match. He's worked his ass off to make that company what I'm sure he's had help, but, you know, he's a good person to have. He'll have it for a couple months, and then hopefully he'll lose it to Darby Allin.
If you don't like the polls, don't vote in the polls. Anyway, thank you, Jared. Yeah. I appreciate it. It's good to hear from you, and I'm going to move on here, but keep calling in, man. I want to keep up, and hopefully you're staying safe.
Yeah, you too, man. Have a good night.
All right, you too. So that was Jared from New York. Big fan of the show. Yeah, I don't, some people with the complaints about, Paul, why do you do this and do that? Like, why does it bother you? Why do you let the results of the poll bother you? It just boggles the mind. Absolutely boggles the mind, but we just laugh at it and we move on. Let's go to 606.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hi. To all those people out there, hey, enjoy all the wrestling we're getting. It's a tough time for everybody else. You know, I just love pro wrestling. I can watch any type of it, even if it's in English, Japanese, or Spanish. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy what we're getting, because hey, it could be gone in a few weeks or what. So enjoy it.
Did you see the show tonight?
While it's out there. Yes, I did.
What did you think?
I enjoyed it. I love the Battle Royal. I just really enjoy Battle Royals. I really enjoyed Orange Cassidy throughout it all.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Match of the night for Double or Nothing was MJF against Jungle Boy, in my mind.
Oh, at the Double or Nothing? Yeah, I mean, that was a very, very good match. It was better than I expected it to be. You know, in some ways, you could actually say it stole the show, I think. Not that that means it was the best match, even. Just I thought that in a lot of ways, they surprised a lot of people. I think MJF surprise a lot of people. People have said, oh, he's all flash and no substance. He's a good promo, but he can't work. He can work. He can work. So I think he had his working shoes on Saturday, so he's got big things in his future.
He did. And I want to make a prediction, maybe July 11th, maybe Fyter Fest.
Why do you say that?
My birthday, July 11th.
Oh, no, well... I don't know. I wouldn't bet any money on that. What day of the week is your birthday?
Saturday.
Saturday? All right, well, there's a chance. They usually do shows on Saturday, so there's a chance. Anything else?
Oh, I'm looking forward to the U.S. The TNT Championship Open Challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so am I.
Do you think we'll get some indie guys coming up, or we'll get some of the AEW guys that's there?
I think it's probably going to be a mix of both. I think, you know, we're getting Jungle Boy next week. I think the payoff is Darby Allin. If it's me anyway, the payoff months from now is Darby Allin. He takes the title from Cody. They've brought in some independent talents, depending on where they are. I mean, now they're in Jacksonville every week. I don't see any reason why they wouldn't do more of that in the future. You know, and maybe one of them actually hangs with Cody and gets over enough where they can get signed to a contract and make a career out of it. You know, that's part of the reason why I like the concept of the Open Challenge. It could be a good platform for somebody that we've not either heard of before or someone who just hasn't had the chance. You know, Cody will go in there with them and, you know, he's a made guy. You can make him look good. And I like the concept. I'm a big fan of the concept. Let's go. 2540.
Hey, Solid Monster. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Yeah. I just don't understand why people get like so passionate about this issue, pro wrestling. Like, I'm just not understanding why people are like fighting each other over this. And
well, they take their pro wrestling.
I was just laughing when you were like,
they take their pro wrestling very seriously.
But I'm just laughing.
So am I.
But yeah,
I laugh every day.
yeah, tonight was pretty good. I just wanted to know, was this the best pull apart brawl you've ever seen, or do you think have you seen any better?
Oh yeah, yeah. No, it was not the best pull apart brawl I've ever seen. I'd have to think about all of the pull apart brawls I've ever seen. One of the best that I can remember, at least in WWE, one of the most well done. What I mean, the Tyson and Austin one was pretty good, but I think of the one with Undertaker and Brock Lesnar. They had one with Undertaker and Brock Lesnar, and I want to say it might have been building up to SummerSlam 2015. Somebody in the chat will tell me if I'm wrong. They had that big pull-apart brawl on Raw, and the whole roster came out and everything, and I just remember thinking, man, this is really cool. Like, this is really well done, the way that they did this. So that's the one that I would think of. I'd have to think of some of the other ones that come to mind. Those are the only two I can really remember right now. But yeah, no. If you never saw that segment, I don't remember what episode of Raw. It was in 2015. Very well done. Very well done. The problem is, like, every pull-apart brawl after a while, it's the same. Right? You see so many of them. I guess the one with the women before WrestleMania last year, that crazy one where they cuffed him and they took him to the back. I think Ronda Rousey was hanging out of the cop car and Charlotte came over. Charlotte came over and like kicked her in the side of the head. That was pretty funny. That was pretty funny. That was a pretty wild one. I might put that on the list too. 401.
Jason, nice to talk to you tonight. This was a great episode of Dynamite. I really enjoyed it.
Hold on. Are you in the middle of a hurricane? Are you okay?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the fan that's on. I apologize.
Okay. It sounded like you were in the middle of like a blizzard or something. I just wanted to make sure you were safe. You're holding on to something solid.
Well, I wasn't aware of my environment because I have something really important to say about the guy that's complaining about the polls. And I'm going to go into a little bit of a promo type situation. But look, that guy, you know, he sounds like another one of these WWE Todds. He's just so wrapped up in his favorite promotion. And let me tell you something. We got to start to look at the math. The math of this situation. Raw in 2015, it had 3.5 million viewers. Raw today gets 1.7 million. They've lost half their audience in 5 years. But you look at AEW. AEW had no viewers in 2015. And now they have 750,000 viewers in 2020. So, you know, you just look at the math. AEW is infinitely better than WWE.
Well, I mean, that's your opinion, and there are people who would have the same opinion. I mean, there are people who have stopped watching WWE who email me, and they only watch AEW, or they don't watch any wrestling at all, you know, because Raw and SmackDown chased them off. And look, you have people that like WWE a lot. You know, they have their reasons. They love the product, and they think it's great. And, you know, look, like you said, the numbers are what the numbers are. The numbers are down now a little bit also because of everything going on. But, yeah, they've hemorrhaged a lot of viewers over the last several years. It goes back to when they went 3 hours. AEW is still kind of in its infancy. I'd like to see them get over the million mark. It's almost like they can't break, you know, ever since that first episode, they just can't break that million mark. I know they have over a million when you factor in DVR and all that. I'd like to see them do it live on a Wednesday. If you got rid of NXT, they probably would, but you could say the same thing about AEW. If you got rid of AEW, NXT probably would shoot up by, I don't know, at least 300,000, maybe 400,000. So, look, I don't even want to compare anymore. People can like what they want to like. I just don't understand.
I didn't mean to call to talk about the ratings. I just, you know, I just see on Twitter, you know, Brian Alvarez's Twitter feed. He's always bringing up the ratings. And then there's always one or two or five people who are always saying, the WWE is getting so much better ratings. And it's like, look, why do you care?
Yeah, because it's kind of the team mentality. People pick sides, they pick their teams, and they're very passionate about it. And I never got the whole, it's like politics too, like team sport aspect. I mean, who gives a shit? You know, I'm not any team. I stand alone. I'm my own person. I don't need other people to, you know, tell me, oh, hey, you know, you should come on this side or you should come on that side. I go wherever the fuck I want to go. You know, I watch what I want to watch. I root for whoever I want to root for. I like what I like. I don't like what I don't like. I wish more people would just learn to think for themselves and not take everything, you know, as some kind of personal slight. You know, do you have stock in the company? And maybe they do. Maybe they have WWE stock. And they're very passionate about their money and they want to see the company do well. I can understand that if they have actual stock in the company.
But if not,
then who gives a shit? But tell me this, because I want to keep things moving here. What did you think overall? Yeah, this was the post pay-per-view episode. They're kind of setting things up now for Fyter Fest and a little bit for All Out. Good show, weak show. Where do you fall?
A great show. I don't often get to watch AEW live because I'm working, but I did tonight because I took the week off, and I was just so pumped, man, to watch the show. And the first segment with the tag team match, even though it had Joey Janela, who I don't really care much for, he was in there, but it's, you know, Blade and Butcher, man, I saw them in the crowd within like the first 10 minutes.
And the Blade.
Yes. Blade and Butcher, I've been waiting to see these guys again. And, you know, Blade, he's sitting over there. He's looking like Leon from The Professional. And Butcher, he's, you know, basically been, you know, Bill Cutting from Gangs of New York is his whole run, I think, with his gimmick. And it's great to see them. And then The FTR people, they show up in their little truck, and it's like chaos. And I enjoy that because I didn't expect to see them tonight. I knew they were coming, but I was I don't care. It was great. It was great television. And that's what I want to see. Great television.
Awesome. I agree. I agree. Anything else before we move on?
Yeah, AEW related. The Tyson stuff. He's definitely past his prime. But like you had said earlier, it makes a lot of sense on why they're using him and how they're using him, because, you know, AEW is in a very safe spot right now with what they have on TV with TNT. But they have to think long term. And what do you got to do to be able to stay around long term? You have to bring in a larger audience. And AEW has kind of struggled with that all year long. But maybe Tyson, even though he's not as big of a name as he used to be, he's still a pretty he's a good name to have and use. It would be better if these weren't empty arena shows, but it's the right move. And even if it's not the best television that they could be putting on, it's still not bad.
Yeah, I agree. I think one of their strong suits has been the empty arena shows. They've done a very good job with the WWE. Yeah, and people will mock WWE. Oh, well, you know, remember that first couple of weeks when WWE had the camera, the hard camera was on the empty seats? In AEW, they had that shot of the entranceway and the two tunnels. How come WWE doesn't do that? Why are they showing empty seats? And then they switched. Magically, they switched. Where you have the hard camera focused on the aisle. And you had people saying, oh, well, they're copying AEW. Oh, isn't it funny? They're copying... That's what they should have done. I mean, should they not have done that? Is that a bad thing that they saw, hey, that actually looks pretty good. Why don't we try to improve our show and do the same thing? And now we see them finally putting NXT people in the audience. I don't know why they had a stand the whole time. Apparently all those wrestlers that were in the crowd on Monday night for like two or three tapings and 6 hours worth of tapings, they were standing the whole time. Was it a rock concert? Give those people some fucking chairs. Let them sit down. But I'm not going to complain, you know, about the plexiglass, or I'm going to complain about the. It's something they should have been doing weeks and weeks and weeks ago, just to generate some noise and generate some excitement, and it kind of mimics the environment until we're able to get actual people, actual fans. Not that they're not real people, but like actual fans back into the building. So I don't fault them for it. I mean, look, if you see somebody else doing something and you think, hey, that's pretty cool, I can improve my own show, and I'm going to do the same thing. Well, then, gee fucking golly, why wouldn't I do it? I'd be pretty stupid if I didn't, and I was, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? I always think of Vince McMahon when I think of this word. Stubborn. I'm not going to be very stubborn. Well, you know, they're doing it, so I can't do it. No, if I think it can improve my show, of course I would do it. I'd put my own spin on it. So I was happy to see them actually have people in the stands the other night. I think both companies, there are certain things that both companies can learn from each other. It doesn't always have to be about copying and stealing. They don't have a trademark on these ideas. I believe this individual calling may have been at the... Were you in Jacksonville tonight?
Yeah, that's me.
Hey, Jordan, what's going on?
Hey, nothing much, man. How you been? Long time no talk. I mean, I think I met you back in WrestleMania weekend, back in New Orleans. But yeah, I'm actually just now driving back from the stadium.
So just explain exactly, because you know, obviously people saw the wrestlers in the audience and all that. But explain to people what your, I guess, role was or what you were doing tonight.
Yeah, so I work. I'm part of the drumline there, so I've been on the drumline for about 3 years now. Working with the team. So we were at the pay-per-view on Saturday. We were there for the tapings. I mean, for like 5 a.m. that day. It was crazy. And so they kind of called us back just to do some extras, the cheerleaders, kind of as you saw for the Inner Circle, that match, or I guess that segment. So I mean, really, I don't really know why they brought us into that, but the main thing is, I guess it was just part of what they've been trying to, the story they've been trying to tell with Chris Jericho. And I guess between the two teams, really, I'm not really sure what the whole idea was, but that's what we've been doing. We're just kind of being a part of the, I guess, the visual presentation for them, pretty much.
So was there anything exciting, I guess, tonight that we didn't see on TV that maybe you did?
Just a revival, just being backstage. You guys saw it on TV happen, but when I saw them backstage, I was like, wait a second, what the hell are they doing here? I was pretty shocked. And then you also saw, I don't know if he had a match, if he was featured or anything like that, but I got to talk to Brody Lee for a little bit. He was a really cool guy. Chris, he was kind of our director too, you know, kind of showing us where to go and telling us what we're doing. But other than that, excitement-wise, just overall feel of the show. I've been backstage for NXT a couple of times too. I can tell the difference. It's so much more laid back with AEW, and I think it translates to what you see on TV. And I mean, that's what it felt like. It just really feels fresh. Everyone enjoys what they're doing. There's nothing but smiling people. Everyone's super cool, super nice. It's actually my third time meeting with them and working with them. So yeah, I mean, it translates on TV. That's what you saw tonight. Tonight was a really solid show. Just the vibe backstage, everyone is really happy about what they're doing. You can tell they're confident, they love it. So
yeah, it's funny because I've heard that I've heard that as well, that the atmosphere back there, you know, from people who have been, and even workers who have been in both places, it's just more relaxed. It's kind of more laid back. You know, it's not that there's no pressure. I mean, you're still going on live TV, but like you said, it's just overall, it's just a more kind of laid back atmosphere. And so mm-hmm. that kind of mirrors what I've heard, you know, before as well. But yeah, I mean, just watching on TV, I thought overall it was a very good show tonight.
And then that's one thing I wanted to ask you too, which is why I called in as well. I wanted to get your thoughts. Like, when do you think that AEW is possibly going to make the jump to switch over, like to compete with, say, maybe a Monday Night Raw or a SmackDown? Like, the way I see it, just with the momentum that they've had going in before this whole virus hit, and what they've been doing on TV, and now bringing Mike Tyson in, which, by the way, running into him backstage was pretty crazy too. I was like, what the hell is he doing here? But that was a really cool moment. But yeah, I mean, when do you think that? When do you see that happening, if at all?
I don't see it happening. Never say never, but I don't see it happening. And I hope it doesn't for a very long time. I think everybody who is all wrapped up in AEW, it's the new thing, it's the hot new thing. A lot of people are, you know, not watching WWE anymore. It's true to an extent, but I think it's the whole TNA situation all over again from 2010. You know, when they moved to Mondays. Mm-hmm. And they did very well that first. I mean, if you remember the competition that night, it was 10 years ago. It was 10 years ago, January of 2010. Yeah. We had TNA was running 3 hours that night. They had Jeff Hardy made his debut. Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff, I think, debuted that night over on Raw. It was the return of Bret Hart for the first time in 12 years. So for the first time since like 2001, it felt like, wow, it felt like we had kind of a war, you know, on that night, and you had to flip back and forth. I remember flipping, you know, when Brett was coming out to go see what was going on, you know, Impact. And they did well that first week, about 2 million, I think, or a little less than 2 million viewers. And then they sank like a stone and they got annihilated because people are creatures of habit. Monday Night Raw is mm-hmm. an established brand. It's been on that night, on that channel. It's been off the channel and then it came back. But it's been on Monday nights for, I mean, what is it now? Almost 30 years. Almost 30 years. And they have a core audience that is not going to go away. So the numbers go down every week. They will hit a floor where they will not go any lower because they will always have their base of viewers. And they're just a bigger machine. So the fact is, if you move AEW to Mondays, I don't see it hurting WWE as much as it hurts AEW. I don't want to see AEW slide backward. I want them to just focus on their product. Show me that they can do a million viewers, a million live viewers on a night where there is no Monday Night Raw. You put them up against Monday Night Raw or SmackDown, they're going to get killed. I believe that they would get killed. They're not yet at that point where I think, oh, they're just going to mop the floor with WWE. Don't underestimate the power of WWE being an established brand. They have a name. AEW is still building that name. I think that would be a terrible idea. I would not do that. I just think that would be bad news for them.
I hear you. Well, hey, man, I really appreciate you taking my call. I'm on your Facebook group, so anytime you guys have any questions, this video, you know, is going on backstage, if you see it, I'm pretty sure this won't be the last time I'm over there, and then hopefully next time I can get one of them to do a shout-out for you, man.
Well, hey, you know, if you could, that if you call back again and keep us posted on what's going on, all the happenings and stuff, that'd be awesome. So, yeah, definitely call back.
Yeah, man, we'll do. Appreciate it.
Awesome. All right, have a good night. So that was from Jordan, who was in Florida. He was in Florida tonight. He was there at the show sharing some information, sharing some inside information for us here on the stream. I believe I neglected a whole bunch of people. So let's just take a quick pause here so I can just say thank you to a few people who have taken time out of their night to support the stream. A lot of people seem to like some of the new super chats, so we'll keep those around. Again, those are always listed down below if you're wondering kind of what values they correspond to. They're all listed down there. The True Heel Master. Thank you for the True Heel Master. And Jose Inoua with the $10 drop. Anthony Obasi. The True Heel Master again. Oofman Entertainment. Shout out to him. One of our wrenches in the chat. And the True Heel Master again. Wow, the hat trick. Says, my bottle of whiskey has more personality than those WWE fanboys. And by the way, that's the drink of choice for the person who asked earlier. Surprised they even asked. Watching the Undertaker documentary, Undertaker is a huge Jack Daniels fan. He doesn't drink so much anymore, I guess. That's what he told Steve Austin. But there are pictures of the Undertaker back in the day with like a bottle of just Jack Daniels in his hand. He probably drinks it straight. I'm not that bold. I don't drink it straight, but yeah, huge Jack Daniels guy. So it was Paul Bearer. Paul Bearer was a Jack and Coke guy. Don't ask me how I know that. But Paul Bearer was a Jack and Coke guy. Let's go to 423.
Hey, Jason, how you doing? This is me, James.
Hey, James.
How's it up there in New York?
It's good. It's getting warmer here in New York. We're going to have 80 degrees this week, but no, it's summer. Oh, yeah. Summer's around the corner, so it's getting hot. It's getting hot here in New York.
Yeah. I heard you were looking for some weights, right?
Apparently I was told that resistance bands may be better, and apparently those are more easily available, and they won't. They won't weigh as much. I'm weighing my, no pun intended, I'm weighing my options here. Do I want weights? Do I want resistance bands?
Okay.
I gotta do something here because I feel like these gyms, right. even if the gyms open up, I feel like the gym is the worst possible mm-hmm. place that you could go, where you have people working at and just expelling droplets everywhere. I'm like, you know what? I think I'll pass on the gym for a while. So yeah, I'm gonna think about what I want to do. But thank you.
Well, I was gonna say I've got some weights I ain't using no more. I can send you some 10-pound weights if you need some. I'm just saying.
I appreciate that. I think I'm probably good, but I'm gonna give it some more thought. But thank you. That's very nice of you.
Okay. I thought AEW was a good show tonight. I liked it for what it was. It was, you know, I thought the Mike Tyson and Chris Jericho thing was pretty cool, but I knew. When I saw it, I said, oh, they're going to try to do the 1998 Steve Austin angle. And I'm like, it's not going to work, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you do run that risk. It's a copy. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Literally with the same guy who was in the angle all those years ago. But because Jericho has been on point with everything he's done, if they're going to do something with him and Tyson, I think it could be a lot of fun. So I don't, you know, I think you have to acknowledge it's a copy of an angle that was already done. It's not nearly as good as the angle they did back in 98, but I thought it was fine. I thought it was fine.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I just want to say to, you know, everybody should enjoy wrestling and like you've always said, each their own. I mean, there's WWE fanboys and all this. Like if you don't want to vote, don't vote. But like AEW's the hot thing right now. NXT's not hot right now, you know?
Well, I mean, it's cooled off a little bit, I think, in terms of the interest that was there a year ago. I don't blame AEW for that as much as I blame the fact that they expanded the show to 2 hours. I know they weren't getting a lot of people on the show in the one-hour format. And the talent might think differently because now some of them are getting TV time. But they had the perfect format right. for that show. It was an easy-to-watch hour of television every single week. You know, and then they moved it. Now there's, you know, commercials on the show, and it's 2 hours long, which, you know, I understand with commercials and stuff, it's not really 2 hours. It's like an hour and, you know, 20-something minutes. But it's not, the point is, it's right. not as easy of a watch as it used to be. You know, is that the reason why, you know, the interest seems like it's lower? Probably not, but just me personally, just as a matter of personal preference, I like the show better when it was on the network. Just an hour long. Now, some weeks it just kind of drags. And I never used to say that about NXT. I never used to say that about the show.
Well, you know, at least you're honest. I mean, some people would, you know, some of the other podcasts, people would suck up and say, oh, it's a good show. I mean, like, you know, NXT was hot, you know, was good for the network. And yeah, when they moved it to go against AEW, it was kind of, you know, cool, and now it's like, not so much, you know?
Mm-hmm. Anything, any other thoughts from the show tonight before we move on?
Oh, I just, I mean, like I said, it was a good show, and all I got to say to anybody else who don't, you know, like, you know, just enjoy, I mean, like I said, you got something to watch on Wednesday, so that's all I have to say about that.
Well, I think that was well said, and everybody can just enjoy whatever they want to enjoy on Wednesday. Wednesday is still the best night of wrestling on TV every week. Better than Monday, better than Friday. NXT, AEW. I'm looking forward to watching this cage fight. You know, Matt Riddle, Timothy Thatcher, Kurt Angle's a referee. Apparently, Matt Riddle, this could be his swan song in NXT. He's on his way, it looks like, to the SmackDown brand, possibly as soon as this week. I guess we'll find out. So, you know, again, NXT, there's still stuff on the show that I get excited about that, you know, there's certain names I follow. You know, Riddle was one of those names. Now he's moving on to the main roster. May God rest his soul. But, you know, look, I hope for good things for him. Hopefully he'll get that Brock Lesnar match. He's been dying for it. Brock Lesnar is on whatever brand they want Brock Lesnar to be on. I mean, right now Brock Lesnar is in Canada and he's not working. So it's kind of a moot point. But I am still, like Mr. Riddle, I am still holding out hope that perhaps one day we will get that elusive match between Riddle and Lesnar. Let's go to 213.
What's up, Final Monster? It's Luis from L.A.
Oh, it's my friend Luis calling back into the stream. How are you today, sir?
Oh, much better. I was sick with a stomach virus for apparently 1 week.
Ooh. A week?
Remember when I said that I was sick and tired of this COVID-19?
I do.
Apparently, no, I don't have the virus.
Well, that's good.
But I got a stomach virus, and like I've been feeling miserable every morning, but then at the end of the day, I feel much better, but then return to feeling miserable in the morning, even though I have to work every day.
Well, let me ask you a question. I'm going to turn the tables on you. I'm going to interview you for a second here. You say that you have to work every day. What, if you don't mind? You certainly don't have to share this if you don't want to. You don't have to be specific. But what do you do? What is
packaging?
What was that?
Packaging.
Oh, packaging. Okay. So you've been keeping very busy then. You've not been working from home. You've been going into work.
I've been staying at work.
You mean like living there, or what do you mean staying at work?
Yes. At work.
Okay.
Basically, I work out of the garage, and then at the end of the day, I can just relax inside of the house. Instead of going back to Los Angeles and then coming back in the morning to Long Beach. You know what I mean.
Oh, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Well, you're a hardworking dude, Luis. You're a hardworking man. Somehow you find time. Yeah, I see you posting everywhere. You as busy as you may be, you are very engaged in the community. So I am in awe. I have to say, I am in awe. You You certainly are very active when it comes to all mm-hmm. of the different wrestling pages and the YouTube channels and stuff. And I'm proud to have you part of mine.
I love that.
All right. Well, let me ask you a question that you told me last week. You had called into the show and you had indicated that you did not watch the show that we were talking about. So I will ask you again tonight. Did you watch either NXT or AEW tonight?
Good question. I was watching both.
Oh, okay.
Simultaneously on my computer, using my DirecTV login for both USA Network and TNT.
Without giving away any spoilers for NXT, did you have a preference as to which show you thought was the stronger of the two tonight?
I'm still a little iffy. I'm a little 50-50 on both. But I can say NXT was a good show.
Okay. Well,
if you know what I mean. What?
That's the second time you've said that. You sound like Waylon Mercy when you say that. And know what I mean? Know what I mean? I don't know what you mean, but I am looking forward to watching NXT and judging for myself, and then I will know which show was better. Anything else to share with the audience here before we let you go?
So I was wondering, does Brock Lesnar have heat with Vince McMahon?
Now, why would he have heat with Vince McMahon?
I'm just asking in general.
You'd have to ask Vince McMahon. I mean, I'm not aware of there being any heat. I think Brock Lesnar is, he's made Vince McMahon a lot of money. I don't see why he would have heat with Vince McMahon or why Vince McMahon would have heat with him. I think they're like bosom buddies. They're probably texting each other or sexting each other or whatever it is they're doing. They're probably they're probably best of friends.
Oh, God.
There's a visual for you.
And you know what? I really like that the NXT stars were at Raw as fans. That's a plus with me.
I think that's a good point. Well, listen, I appreciate you calling in. I'm glad that you're feeling better. No more stomach virus and no COVID or anything like that. So hopefully you stay healthy and don't get sick and call back in the next time we're on the air, okay?
All right,
you take care.
Have a nice evening.
You too. That is Luis, all the way from California. He was very sick, and now he's not. Now he's feeling better. He's watching NXT here. He's watching AEW over here. One day he's going to be here. He's going to be taking my seat. You're going to be looking at Luis's face one week. I'm going to be the one calling in to his show. He's going to be reviewing the shows. Boy, are you going to want to tune in to see that. It's our friend Luis. Who's been super chatting? I see all the super chats popping up in the corner of my eye. I want to make sure I don't miss any. Spanish Goddish, thank you for the 5. I have a feeling EC3 and Spud will debut soon. Right before All Out. Or at All Out. That would be interesting. Carlos Lugo, thank you for the 5. Dark Side of the Ring. Buy or sell 2-hour Benoit episode or 1-hour. Oh, I don't want to do buy or sell on that. I mean, that's... I don't feel comfortable doing that. I mean, they were both well done, but frankly, I wish I didn't have to watch either one of them. They're very, very sad stories. And Dry Chicken Without Flavor, Jericho-Tyson Brawl was a mixed hybrid version of the Tyson-Austin and Lesnar-Taker Brawl. Actually, you know what? I have an answer to that question that the guy posed to me earlier. It's not a wrestling pull-apart brawl. I don't know if he said, what's your favorite wrestling one? But now that I'm thinking about this, favorite... wildest, craziest pull-apart brawl. I think we just had the anniversary in the last week or two, I think. I have to look it up. The Malice in the Palace. NBA. With the Was it the Pistons? I gotta look it up now. I forgot who the teams were. That is the craziest pull-apart brawl in a sport that I believe I have ever seen. Was the Malice in the Palace. And I can't believe... that it has been... How many years has it been? Yeah, it was Pistons. It was Pistons and Pacers. Wow, 2004. Yeah, with Ron Artest, Meta World Peace. Who I guess changed his name. Now he's not Meta World Peace anymore. What is he calling himself now? Pacers, Pistons. Let's see what he's calling himself now, because I know he changed his name. So he was Ron Artest, but he was Meta World Peace, and now he is Meta something else. So I guess World Peace is dead. No more World Peace. Seriously, that was the craziest brawl I have ever seen. That was I believe the announcer said it best that night. Fun as it was to watch on TV, that was a disgrace. That was, I think one of the announcers said that was the most disgraceful thing I think I've ever seen. I remember them pulling Artest through the tunnel. They're throwing drinks on him and food on him. A fan got on the court. Somebody punched the fan in the face, which he fucking deserved because you don't run on the court, you stupid moron. Everything about that night. I mean, go on YouTube and watch it. Crazy. So that would be my answer. That's the craziest thing I've ever seen. All right, let's do one or two more and then we'll wrap up, because it's getting kind of late here. So let us go 3-2-3. Yeah, let's do 3-2-3.
Yeah, what's up, man? Jonathan from Southern Charlotte. What's up?
What's going on?
What's up, man? I'm a big wrestling fan. I've been hearing you for a long time. I really dig the show, man. You dope. You dope as hell.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to point out, because I hear you all the time, every single week, AEW, et cetera, et cetera. Honestly, man, like, certain people just come across as embarrassing. And not that WWE doesn't, because of course they do, but they're looked at as that monopoly, et cetera, et cetera. This is the alternative, and I'm seeing, what's his name, Orange Cassidy.
Right?
And then Kenny Omega.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I've seen Kenny Omega matches in Japan, right, and he has great moves, et cetera, but I don't know, man. I cannot view these people as tough or as entertaining. It's kind of embarrassing when you show someone who's not a wrestling fan, not us, right, who read reports, watch Final Monster, right, not us. The outside world, this is not going to – I don't know if you get where I'm going with this. Joey Ryan is not going to translate. I don't know. Like, Meltzer doesn't speak for the outside world, and, you know, in my world – it's a little bit more machismo, et cetera, et cetera. It's kind of embarrassing, man. Like, you know, I know Roman Reigns gets that heat, and sometimes rightly so, because sometimes he embarrassed himself back then, but he's considered cool, doper. Seth Rollins, in a way, is just considered cooler. AJ Styles is considered a little cooler and, like, tougher. Like, I don't know if you get anywhere I'm coming from. Daniel Bryan is considered tough.
Don Moxley could do,
you know, he's brutal. They do brutal things, but they come across as a little silly. It's like independent wrestling.
Yeah, no, look, anybody who is not a wrestling fan or is like a casual fan, I think some people would watch that Orange Cassidy stuff or, you know, some of the other comedy stuff they do, and they would get a kick out of it. Most people would probably look at it and go, that's really dumb. Like, I don't get it. Like, what's the point of it? That stuff I don't see as having as big of an appeal. I think you're right, to like the wider audience. We know some other people in wrestling who aren't a fan of that type of wrestling either. They make their voices, you know, very loud. But it's a product. It's
Jim Cornette?
Yeah, well, yeah, you said it, not me. But he
with Solomon Monster, can I say something about Jim Cornette?
Sure.
I actually don't disagree with certain things. I do disagree with a lot of things in general that have outside of wrestling, not politics, but like he said things about hip hop. I don't think he's being open to, and I would like to have a combo with him one day, but the man knows his wrestling, man. Like, what can I say? He's like a walking wrestling encyclopedia. Like, he is someone I would want a young wrestler to be like, hey, does this look good? Does this look okay? Do I look dumb? Should I not do these mini moves? Like, you know, I do this move. Like, this is what the people are doing now. How do I stand out? Et cetera, et cetera. He is someone I would want Booker T students to listen to him, you know, or the Dudley Boy students to listen to him.
Yeah,
in that regard.
And I think he shoots himself in the and he shoots himself in the foot when he makes some of the stupid comments when he does make stupid comments because he's wrestling smart. He's been in wrestling for whatever it's been, 30 something years, 40 years. He's got a lot of knowledge. He's one of the highlights of those Dark Side of the Ring shows, because he's such a big you know, fan of history, that he's up on all the historical stuff. And I enjoy listening to him in that context. And then other times he'll just completely lose his shit. And some of the things he says, it makes me uncomfortable. Like, I'm just thinking to myself, like, I'm going to back away. I'm going to back away from the computer now, or I'm going to take the AirPods out, because this is getting a little too heated here. He could be his own worst enemy. But look, the reality is, and somebody in the chat just said it, and I agree with them. I think the outside world, people who aren't wrestling fans, they look at wrestling as a joke. It almost doesn't even matter. They either take wrestling seriously or they don't. Watching something like Orange Cassidy probably wouldn't help that perception, but I don't think that's the audience they're going for. I think those acts are not meant for them. I think in AEW's view, they have all different kinds of talents. They have talents that are more serious. They have more mainstream names from WWE. And then they have, look at a Darby Allin. Darby Allin is not a comedy character. He's supposed to be taken more seriously. He's kind of, there's like a cool factor about him. I think he's got a lot of fans. I could see somebody like a Darby or a Hangman Page having appeal to someone who maybe is like a casual fan. Orange Cassidy, they might look at and go, what the fuck is this? You know, and they might not get it. But I just think they're just trying to, you know, you don't want to have all comedy or all serious. You got to have a mix. I don't have a problem with them having a mix. WWE has comedy characters. Look at what we're seeing on Raw every week. We're seeing an axe throwing contest. We had golf this week. Next week, we're going to have fucking bowling. I mean, you know, you could say the same thing about casual people watching Raw. They're like, is this wrestling or is this, what the hell is this? Like, what am I watching? You've got to have the entertainment as part of the show, too. You got to have a mix. AEW has a mix. WWE has a mix. There's nothing wrong with that.
Can I just say, too, I'm a big Bret Hart fan, man. I know you're one of those, too. Huge Bret Hart fan.
Huge Bret Hart fan. Big Bret Hart.
Yeah, best ever, I think. For me, it's Bret. I just want to say, for me, it's Bret, Kurt Angle, Eddie, and you could argue from there, because, you know, I love Mr. Perfect. I love the Midnight Express. I love older wrestling, but I'm also, you know, I'm a 90s baby, man. So I grew up, you know, Austin was my guy as a little kid because everybody loved him.
Are you amazing? Are you a Rey Mysterio fan?
I actually am. Yeah. I mean, he was my favorite when I was a little kid. But I actually do support the man a lot. I'm from LA, not from San Diego, but I respect him. I've never met him. He's been in my city of Huntington Park, but I want to meet him. I'm a big fan. I was a big Eddie guy, though. And it's uncomfortable, but Ben was the two of those two were my guys because I was a kid watching. I like wrestling, man. I like Kurt Angle, Chris Jericho.
I like
people who aren't quote unquote wrestling, like the Dudleys. I like the Dudleys. They're just hard.
I only brought up the Ray thing because you kind of sound like him a little bit. You sound a little bit like Rey Mysterio. I thought at first we had a celebrity here calling into the show. I'm like, oh my goodness! I said he's going to have his retirement on Monday, and he's calling into the stream here tonight.
All right, thank you. I'll take that as a compliment. Thank you, man. Big fan. This is my first time getting on. I've been calling for a few times.
I know the lines get jammed.
You know, I miss it.
I
get jammed. And my first time calling. Thank you, man. It's been an honor. And you're one of the best at what you do, man. I think the best. You're the one most of us listen to. That's how we keep up with wrestling. That's how it goes, man. You are the one.
Thank you. Thank you. That means a lot. I appreciate that. I get a lot of messages telling, you know, me that they don't watch. They just listen to the streams and stuff. That's how they keep up with what's going on. Like, they gave up on Raw. They gave up even on AEW, and they don't watch. They just listen. So every time I hear that, that's very cool. The fact that we get a lot of repeat viewers and repeat callers means I must be doing something right. I hope so. Otherwise, what the hell am I doing all this for? Let me just run through some of the final super chats here. Show some love. Luis, there he is again. Let's see, he's everywhere. This guy's everywhere. He's in the chat. He's on the phone line. He's in the Facebook group. Luis, one of a kind. Turtlehead. I was wondering when I was going to say that name tonight. Turtlehead, thank you. What if someone put their number one contender spot on the line to get Cody back in the title picture? MJF could be crazy enough. Well, it could happen. Now, we know Cody will be challenging for the championship at some point. You know, he's not going to forever be banned from challenging for the title, so that could be one way to do it. And A. Lavelle dropped $25 a few minutes ago, and he was a big fan, I guess, of the Owen Hart video. And also the clip for Shad and for Hana Kimura. Yeah, I wish I didn't have to talk about it. You know, it was such a sad story. I saw an interview today. I didn't watch the whole thing. I wish I had written down this person's YouTube channel. Actually, I think it was Hannibal. I think it was the Hannibal TV. The wrestler Hannibal, he's got a YouTube channel. A lot of good content, a lot of good shoot interviews on there. Somebody, it wasn't Hannibal, but somebody interviewed Shad Gaspard at the end of April. They did a video interview, like a podcast interview with him that was like an hour and a half. And it's on the channel. The last interview he ever did, you know, a month before his death. And I was just watching some of it. And again, you can, you know, the passion and very affable and... It sucks, man. It sucks what happened to him. It's just such a terrible fucking thing. It's awful. And I just feel for his family. AEW, 83.8, 16% down. NXT, 71 up, 28 down. A good night. I'd say that's a good night for Wednesday Night Wrestling. Let's all just be calmer, please. And let's all just be a little bit nicer. No need to get all bent out of shape. I will continue to get bent out of shape about the things on television that piss me off. You don't got to worry about that. I know that's why you all tune in. I know that's why you don't tune in to hear me talk about all the positive stuff, right? You love a little bit of a harder edge. Believe me, there's always stuff to nitpick and talk about, but I do enjoy my Wednesday nights. So, with that being said, I want to thank everybody for joining us here tonight. This has been fun. Good stream, good show, good company, good people. Thank you again. I will be back for episode 654 this Sunday. Podcast 654, the return of RSPW Rewind. I know it's been a few weeks, and we'll have a lot to cover on that show. And then again, I guess the next time we'll be right back here next Wednesday. Dynamite. Live stream 10 p.m. next week, so hopefully you guys will join me then. I look forward to that as I do each and every week. And that's it. That's all I got. I got to get out of here so I can edit all this and get a little bit of shut-eye. So I wish everybody good night. Be well. Stay safe. And again, I will see you on Sunday for episode 654. So until then, take care, guys. I'll see you back here next week.
There's a reason flash storage is called flash storage and not electronic non-volatile computer memory storage. From quick and efficient data retrieval to instant scalability, everything about IBM flash storage is fast. It's also cloud-ready and surprisingly affordable, with a recommended monthly price of £310 for 24 terabytes of all flash. Order by the 30th of June and pay nothing for 90 days. Find out more at ibm.biz/flashoffer.
To build a professional website with fast hosts, you don't need much. You don't need technical skills to drag and drop design elements into place. You don't need a big budget to get your domain, website tools, and 24/7 support all included. And with the mobile edit feature, you don't even need to be at your computer. All you do need is our website builder. So start your free trial at fasthosts.co.uk/build.